Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with my friend, Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing tonight?
Good. A lot of hockey today. I coached three games.
Holy moly.
Oilers game was a heck of a game, though.
It was a battle, eh?
Total team effort by the Oilers. Got to give them real credit for that strong performance against the Anaheim Ducks. 2-1 victory. And no shortage of controversy, as there always is when you play the Anaheim Ducks. Bruce, this is our two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast. What is your good thing?
And the one miraculous thing. Oilers got a call against the Ducks with the game on the line. How about that? When they scored with the goalie out again, which would have been like eight in a row for them with 6-on-5. And I was just, I'd actually already carefully set aside my clipboard, put it in the on the table so that when the inevitable happened, I wasn't going to break another one. And I will admit I cursed. And then the ref waved it off and then they upheld the call. And so.
No team bulldozes the goalie like bulldoze the goalie.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
That's plan A for them. And it's a good plan. You can often get away with it. This time they got called on it and it was the right call. And
I got Koskinen upside the head is what I saw with the stick, Henrik.
Yeah, we're on my bad thing. That's my bad thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
Jump ahead to that. Is my bad thing was the was that hack to the head on Koskinen. And I just hated, you know, that's just BS going in there and hacking the goalie on the head. Like, as you said, they were talking about him hitting him on the pad and stuff, but I saw him like, you know, you could argue, well, he's just going for the puck, but, you know, you got his head. You got him on the face mask.
Well, he's in the blue paint, and he's going. He's on his knees going for the puck, and you give him the shaft of the stick on the head. Well, and I guess the no goal is the call. Anyway, they got it, and whether they got it right or not, I mean, there's an argument to be made either way. The boys on TV are still discussing it, I'm sure. But right or wrong, I mean, the Oilers had one coming because we know a couple of wrong ones went badly against them when it really mattered in the old 17 playoffs. So anyway, my good thing tonight, I want to give a huge shout out to Josh Curry, the native of Charlottetown, PEI, born October 29th, 1992. So this is a guy who's older than Ryan Nugent Hopkins or Oscar Klefbom or even Adam Larson. And he's been playing, he played four seasons in the Q, including an overage season where he got 100 points. He played two plus the start of a third season in the ECHL. Now, how many guys in the NHL have 150 games of ECHL experience?
It's a pretty if you're not a goalie, like, even the goalies don't play that long.
Not that many. I mean, a year for a goalie, part of a year for some players, but this is like two full years plus the start of a third. And then he got called up by the Bakersfield Condors, where he toiled away on a AHL contract for three full years, finally earned the NHL pact for, you know, the NHL part, or, you know, NHL-AHL two-way deal last summer. And after another fine year in Bakersfield, he got called up. And lo and behold, tonight on national TV, first game broadcast back to his hometown, Charlottetown, he scores. Now, isn't that just beautiful? His parents were in the stands for all three games. His grandparents came for this game. They saw him score. So I got to give that guy a shot. I love those underdog stories. And Josh Curry, you know, he played for PEI Rocket in the Q. And my daughter-in-law lives with us now. She lived in Charlottetown. And so did my son for a while. And she went to all the Rocket games. So she actually saw Josh Curry in another life about 8 years ago playing for the Rocket. So it's kind of a personal interest story. Who knows whether this will be his one shining moment or whether he's actually, I mean, he looked like a player in this game.
Well, that's it. Like maybe his only NHL goal, but that's, we'll see. He certainly looks like a smart, kind of gritty, smart player, not a fast skater, but he's earning the right amount of money to be on the fourth line of the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep.
And he can, if he's, you know, if he can just, if he can figure out a way to score like 12 goals in limited ice time next year on a fourth line and not give him much defensively, he could have himself a little career in the National Hockey League. So my good thing, Bruce, is the finally, the Oilers have the six defensemen back in the lineup right now. So they have top pairing of Larson, Klefbom, and they have Nurse and Russell, Sekera, Benning, and Andre Sekera. He looks like Andre Sekera again. It's such a relief. At least that's what I'm seeing. Maybe he's seven games, so it just can't be adrenaline, but five in the AHL, two in the NHL now. And he's just looking, he's moving well and making, he just makes so many smart little plays with the puck constantly. And what a difference it makes to a hockey team, Bruce, to have a solid defensive group. The Oilers haven't had that. Mm-hmm. It's not surprisingly the 2017 playoffs when they had last time success as a team, consistent success. Mm-hmm. It looks like they have it again now, and they look like a team transformed. They weren't bottled up constantly in their own end. They weren't getting run around their own end. They were actually putting pressure on Anaheim in their end of the ice consistently. And that's because you have defensemen who pounce on the puck like Klefbom and get it out of the zone. Make a quick play like Sekera, get it out of the zone, instead of guys who just don't. So painful watching these other guys play hockey. You know, there was, and the one iffy member of that crew still is Benning, a little bit iffy on the puck handling, and that was seen on the goal against. It was a tough play, but he kind of fumbled a little bit. And given the how much money they pay Andre Sekera for two more years, it is in terms of the question marks about the franchise. If he can actually answer that question and be a top four demon in the NHL, that is just absolutely huge for the Edmonton Oilers. It means they don't have to acquire another defenseman this summer, and they can concentrate on bringing in a few forwards, and that could be big for Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. Well, tonight, with, of course, score effects in full flower with Edmonton leading 2-0 halfway through the game, at even strength, the Oilers got outshot 29-16. And when Sekera was on the ice, it was 10-9 Oilers. When Sekera was on the bench, it was 20-6 for the Ducks. So now he wasn't playing the top opposition on the third pairing. You kind of get a little bit softer competition typically, and I didn't look in detail. But the fact remains that when Andrew Sekera gets the puck on his stick anywhere inside his own blue line, if he gets a split second to look up, you can rest assured that that pass is going to be made. Like, he puts it on the stick, and it's either tipped into the far zone or it's on the stick and it's moving through the neutral zone with speed. Like, he makes those passes. He makes them look so easy that it's easy to underrate what he actually does, which is make it look easy by making the pass. That's kind of a circular reasoning, but making it look easy is a skill.
He can't play without his mobility. It's all based on quick feet, and he's got to get there quickly, make a quick move often to get open, and then move the puck. And last year he really noticed that he was overwhelmed defensively. He wasn't fast enough to get to the spots to shut down attacks, and was constantly beat defensively. But the passing wasn't necessarily there either, because he just wasn't quick enough to dart in and make the quick play. So we're seeing, I think, both so far. Yeah. I'm still hoping to see strong defensive play. Like, we'll see if he can maintain over time, shutting down NHL-level attackers. But he certainly passed the first few check marks in his recovery. And that, again, that's huge for the Oilers. Bruce, what was I already said my bad thing. What was your bad thing?
All right. My bad thing is kind of a good thing from an Oilers fan point of view. My bad thing is Corey Perry, and he is one badass. I won't say the rest of the sentence, that's a nicer way of saying what I was going to say. But yeah, he's a badass. And I was kind of thrilled to see him getting robbed out of that game tying goal, just because he's been a pain in our butts for so long. But I hated the cheap shot he took at Darnell Nurse in the game's dying seconds, where he went into the corner. And that was an absolutely gratuitous elbow to the head that he gave Darnell. And I guess all's fair in love and war. And my wife said, "You'd love Corey Perry if he's on your team." And I said, "Well, I did love him when he was on our Olympic team."
Do you think he'll be suspended, Bruce?
They were talking about it. You know, I mean, suspension talk is all the rage right now, but I'd be surprised. I mean, yeah, that's how he plays the game, and he never seems to, you know, they say it's...
Blow to the head, he should get 2 games. I mean, that was a deliberate blow to the head.
I would have had a shot, and, yeah.
2 games. Give him 2 games. Unless he's a repeat offender, maybe give him more than that. But
you think there's any chance Corey Perry might be a repeat offender, David?
I think there might be. Oh, I thought of another bad thing, Bruce. Here's my bad thing. And this was this is my McCurdian logic or my McCurdian thinking. You know how you always complain how they –
I never complain.
The Oilers will be in the West Coast. They won't get a call all game. And then suddenly when the game's over, they'll get a couple calls.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what this call on the goal 4 reminds me of. It's not coming at a key time in the season. But come on, the Oilers are out of it. Here they finally get a call. They finally get a call against the Anaheim Ducks. And it's in this part of the season where, whatever, it doesn't matter for either team.
I'll take it. Beat the Ducks, move ahead of them in the standings by beating them in regulation. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be an Anaheim Ducks fan in the foreseeable future, so.
I hate the Ducks. Okay, what is your number, Bruce?
My number tonight is 82% based on 9 wins and just 2 losses in the faceoff circle by one Kyle Brodziak. And not just any old faceoffs, but some pretty critical ones. There was a 2 right at the end of the second period when I was thinking, boy, if they got a real late goal here, that would suck because they closed the gap to 2-1. And there was a big 2 on the penalty kill, the one penalty the Oilers had to kill where Drysdale got the high sticking penalty on what could have been seen as a follow through, but anyway, it wasn't. But Brodziak, they pulled the goal even with 15 seconds left in the power play, and the first faceoff was on the left side, so Nuge took it, and I thought, no, we're not going to win that. Koskinen made the save, and the faceoff went to the right side, and right away I was thinking, ha, we've got Brodziak, we're probably going to win this draw, and they did, and they got it down the ice, and that was the end of the power play. And he had a few big wins in the defensive zone, and that's the big part of what he was brought in to do, you know, the reliable right-handed stick in the faceoff circle, and tonight he was all of that, so credit were due to Kyle Brodziak.
Yeah, but those were huge moments in the game. Excuse me. My number is 4. It's the number of grade A scoring chances Anaheim was able to muster all game long.
Wow.
So that was probably the best defensive effort of the season from the Oilers in terms of shutting down another team's attack. Anaheim got lots of outside shots, but hardly anything from the danger zone, the kill floor. And that had to do with just solid team defense by everybody. Everybody like working very, very, very hard. And also the defenseman moving the puck out adroitly when there was extended pressure. There was only a couple times when the Oilers got running around there. And generally speaking, they kept him to the outside. So excellent defensive effort. The Oilers had 9 grade A scoring chances. The Ducks had 4. So it was a fitting score for the game, 2-1.
Big first period for the Oilers, especially the second half of the first period when they took the lead and then scored again early in the second period. And they were really carrying the game at that stage. And then from then on, it was a little bit hang on Harvey, but it was hang on in the good way, keeping the play to the perimeter, not giving up anything dangerous, battling.
That's probably had about 7 or 8 B-grade scoring chances.
Yeah, Ricard Raquel kept firing away from the slot. And, I mean, Koskinen was busy, and he had a very good game, Mikko Koskinen, but he had a lot of help.
Yeah.
Adam Larson, I loved his game, especially, well, with the puck, not so much, without the puck. Man, he was getting in the way of dangerous shots. He was taking the body. He was breaking the cycle. He was decking guys.
he and Klefbom are pretty
possessed. They're a nice pair when they're on.
They're a nice pair when they're both healthy and going strong. They can play some hockey. It's great to see. All right, Bruce. Well, let's leave it there. I guess Kurt's doing the game grades. He's probably got him up by now, eh?
He's pretty fast. He's pretty fast.
Yeah.
You guys are both pretty fast compared to me. I'd be up to about number 4 by now. I have this thing. I have to watch the whole game before I even begin to write about it. So that's just the way I operate. I have to understand the game as a whole before I start to break it down. So
yeah.
Anyway, And we'll leave the McDavid suspension. I guess it's done, and
it's done.
There's been plenty to talked about it already. So the Oilers came through without him. It was a huge win. I don't expect them to win in Nashville on Monday. They absolutely had to win one of these games without him. I think even if this year is not good, it's good for the team to win this game. It's good for those guys in the dressing room to win this game.
All right. Beat Nashville. All right. Thanks, Bruce, for talking.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.